What a psalm to finish our summer series in the Psalms off with. I reckon between us, we could probably do it off by heart. But do keep your Bibles open, because I think it's going to be helpful. And I was kind of thinking and praying last night, how do we approach Psalm 23, this psalm that we all know really, really well? I guess most of us, if Psalm 23 is new to you this morning, you're in for a treat. It's brilliant. It's one that I guess countless Christians down through generations have treasured. And thinking and praying last night, how do I approach this psalm? I kind of decided what I needed to do actually was to take my shoes off. They are clean socks. They are clean feet as well. Sorry, Andy, if any wafts come your way. They're not clean shoes, but there we go. Why? You know the story, don't you? Maybe you do. Exodus 3, Moses. He sees the bush on fire and it's not being burnt up. And the voice of God calls to him, Moses, Moses. And says, don't come too near. Take off your shoes, for the ground you're standing on is holy ground. It feels like Psalm 23 is kind of quite holy ground. Now, I don't for a moment think I've gone away for a week on holiday. I've come back thinking I am Moses. I haven't. I know my place. Don't worry. But it does feel like Psalm 23 is holy ground. This treasured psalm, perhaps the most precious psalm to most Christians out of all 150 psalms. And I kind of want to approach gently. I don't want to kind of stamp my size nines all over it. Those precious things that have sustained you, that have blessed you, that have comforted you, that have strengthened you over the years. But I guess more than that, Psalm 23 feels like holy ground because, if you like, it's this big, bright window that we look through and we see Jesus Christ. See, when Jesus was looking for that image to explain what he was all about, we've already heard it this morning, he reached for the image of the shepherd. So in John 10, we spent time in it just a few weeks ago in our morning series in John's Gospel. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He's a good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. He's the good shepherd who, I know my sheep, he says, and my sheep know me. And so when we read at the opening of Psalm 23, when it says, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord there is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Lord who's the shepherd. I take my shoes off this morning because Psalm 23 is holy ground, but also I want us to feel comfortable in Psalm 23. When you're invited into somebody's home, what's the first thing you tend to do? You kick off your shoes, don't you? You want to ruin their nice carpet. We need to get comfortable in Psalm 23. Because Psalm 23 is a psalm for every day. Now, that first line of Psalm 23 gives the Christian believer, gives me this morning, if you like, a slogan, an anthem, a battle cry for everyday life lived with Jesus in a world where so many seem to lack so much. We can join with David and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Now, Psalm 23, I know it's not particularly long, but if you want Psalm 23 in a nutshell, summed up in just 8 words, it's verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. That's the anthem for every day. Verses 2 to 6 kind of go on to unpack this, to fill it out. And these verses show us that this anthem, being able to say, Jesus is my shepherd, I lack nothing. It's something for ordinary days. It's something for dark days. And it's something for all our days. Jesus is my shepherd. I lack nothing. It's an anthem for ordinary days. On Friday morning, we were in the Peak District, beautiful bit of the world. And with my boys, we'd gone for an early morning walk. If you know my family, we like to wake up ridiculously early. So we'd gone off for a nice early morning walk and we'd found a nice field full of sheep. We stood at the gate and I did my best attempt to communicate with the sheep. You've been there. You've done it too. You do your best sheep impression. The best response I got was a slightly quizzical look from one. So I don't really need to tell you, I'm not an expert on sheep. I'm not an expert on shepherding. There are plenty of other people who are. But even I think, can say that a shepherd leading sheep to lie down in green pastures leading them beside quiet waters, guiding sheep along the right paths. Surely that is the everyday, ordinary work of a shepherd. That's what shepherding is about. It's what you do every day. Food, water, rest, direction. So it means on every ordinary day that we experience in our lives, we can say, Jesus is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I lack nothing. How do we settle that with that list, I guess, that we all have of the things that we want? We've all got a list, haven't we? No. The list that says a bigger income and smaller debts. The list that says more rest and less complicated relationships. Maybe the list has a better job, or different colleagues, better health, less pain, fewer responsibilities, more holidays, a place to call home, a person to come home to, an end to war, that start to healthy living. You know, you could add all sorts of things onto your list, I'm sure. Do we just kind of hide that list of our wants somewhere deep down and then just make sure with our lips we say, yeah, Jesus is my shepherd, I lack nothing? It doesn't quite feel right, does it? It kind of feels like one foot over here, one foot over there, and eventually we get torn in two. What if on an ordinary day, being able to say, Jesus is my shepherd, I lack nothing, is actually a statement of faith. It's a statement of trust. Saying, I might feel like I've got all these wants, Lord, but I'm trusting you, the one who's most clearly shown himself in Jesus, to decide what I really need. After I'd finished school, I spent a year living in North Wales. Absolutely stunningly beautiful. Lots of sheep. Lots of sheep. Everywhere. And one day, a few of us had gone for a little walk, and we walked past, those sort of wire fences with the squares, you know, the kind of ones. And a sheep had got its head stuck in one of the squares. It was bleating away, and we're kind of walking past going, do we do something? Does the farmer come and do something? Eventually, we kind of felt sorry for this sheep. And so we spent a traumatic 5 minutes, both for us and for the sheep, releasing the sheep. What did the sheep immediately go and do? Stuck its head straight through another square. We walked away. Jesus, our shepherd, knows what we need. And do you know what? It's so much better than what we normally think we want. We want to get our heads stuck in fences. The Lord, who's our shepherd, wants to take us to lie down in green pastures. He wants us to be beside quiet waters. He wants our souls to be restored. He wants to put us on the right paths. And this shepherd, Jesus, he has met our greatest need, hasn't he? He's reconciled us to God. We can call God our Father. We know our sins are forgiven, and he has filled us with his Holy Spirit. Jesus, therefore, is the one who truly and ultimately restores our souls. It's Jesus who takes our souls from death to life. He's the one who saves us from hell and brings us into the kingdom of heaven, that ultimate place of rest, that promise of true rest. And so it means when we hear Jesus talk about God as a heavenly Father, he feeds the birds of the airs, of the air, and clothes the flowers of the fields. And how much more will he do that for his people? We can know that. We can experience that ourselves in our lives. We don't have to worry about those things. We set our minds on his kingdom, his righteousness, and these things will be given to us. Jesus refreshes our souls daily. Because let's be honest, in ordinary life, we wander. We wander off, and our shepherd Jesus just comes, and he nudges us back, and he leads us back. We get spiritually tired. We don't just get physically tired. We get weary spiritually, don't we? Jesus is the one who sustains the weary with a word. With Jesus as our shepherd, we lack nothing. It's an anthem for ordinary days, for your days at work, your days at school, your days at home, days with family, days with friends. It's for ordinary Sundays too. We need to hear this over the next few weeks and be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, our shepherd. We lack nothing. I've already shared how next Sunday we're going to be sending Rob and Claire. That's going to feel big. And I don't know about you, August has felt like a bit of a sending goodbye kind of month. Say goodbye to Steve and Sarah at Living Hope. We had Laura and her family up, was it last week, sending them to Malta. We've had some hellos as well, but it feels like we're doing a lot of goodbyes. And maybe it's tempting to kind of think, well, saying all these goodbyes, we're going to be lacking. And yes, things will probably feel a bit different at times, and some things will have to change, and that's okay. Different faces are going to step up to do some different things. We lack nothing. Why? Because Jesus is our shepherd. We might have a list of things we want, but he will provide what we need. And so it means, amongst the sadness of saying goodbye, it's okay to have a slight sense of excitement. An anticipation for what the Lord our shepherd will do. He has committed himself to us and to our care. Look how verse 3 finishes. It says, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. The Lord has tied his reputation to doing this. He's put his name on it. It's not about how well we're doing. It's not about how good we are. It's about how good he is. Jesus is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I lack nothing. It's an anthem for ordinary days, and it's an anthem for dark days. Because you see how verse 3, he's leading on the right paths. And where did the right paths take us? Verse 4, into the darkest valley. There's a turn, isn't there? We go from along the right paths, and then we're in the darkest valley. The good news is Jesus' sense of direction is much better than mine. Almost every journey, even up the road, I managed to take a wrong turn or go on the wrong road. When Jesus takes us through the darkest valley, he's not turned wrong. He's not got lost. There might be things that are making us fearful. He's not afraid. He's not fearful. And he's with you. Do you see in the darkest valley, do you see how David in his way of talking about God changes? He stops talking about God and he starts talking to God. Do you see that verse 4? Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, he says. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Isn't it true? Often in our darkest days, that's when we are driven closer to Jesus as our shepherd. That's when we know him more deeply. Life we live is in a broken world, damaged by our sin. There are going to be dark days, and there will be days, to use the older translation of the psalm, where it feels like we are walking through the shadow of the valley of death. And maybe that's you at the moment. You're grieving the loss of a loved one. Maybe you're approaching your own end. Look at the shepherd who's with you. He's already walked this route before. He's walked the valley of the shadow of death, carrying a cross on his shoulders. He is the one who knows the way through. Because he is the one who made the way through. He is the one who's been raised from the dead. And this means that if you're a Christian believer today, death is a shadow. It casts darkness on life now. But it can't hold on to you. Ultimately, it won't hold on to you. The shepherd who's with you in your dark days is the one who's defeated death itself. And at this point, we need to kind of scrap the image we might have of Jesus as the good shepherd, as this sort of gentle, slightly weedy-looking bloke under a tree holding a lamb. We need to have a picture of a warrior, flexing his muscles, with a weapon in one hand to protect you, a staff in his other just to kind of keep you on track. In the darkest and hardest of days, Jesus is with you and he's in complete control. Jesus is my shepherd. I lack nothing. It's an anthem for ordinary days. It's an anthem for your dark days. And it's an anthem for all your days, for all our days. In verse 5, maybe it's because David's made it out of the dark valley. Maybe he hasn't made it out of the dark valley yet. And yet there's this picture, an experience of the shepherd's generosity as he lays this table out. It's a generosity we can experience now and will experience in its fullness in the time to come. It means we're to be marked out by thanksgiving and rejoicing. You have a place, because of Jesus, at the Lord's table. And we do so now in a world where many people are lost and opposing God, and they're watching on and they see our life with Jesus. They see us living in his victory. They see us giving thanks and rejoicing. They see us as people whose cups aren't half empty, aren't half full, they're overflowing. They're anointed, we're anointed with the Holy Spirit. And if you like, it's an invitation. God's not showing off to these enemies. He's inviting them to come to the table, to come to say, the Lord is my shepherd, for themselves. Jesus is my shepherd, I lack nothing. It's an anthem for all our days. Just look back at your days that have been. And as you look, do you not see how God's goodness, how God's love has just followed you everywhere you've gone? In fact, the words that we have follow in Psalm 23, verse 6, isn't strong enough. It doesn't just follow you, sort of gently wandering on behind you. The language is, God's goodness and love pursues you. It chases after you. And I guess our encouragement this morning is, as we are pursued by God's goodness and love, will we pursue after our shepherd? At the start of this year, I shared from Psalm 27, verse 4, which says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my days, all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." An encouragement, there is one thing above all things to chase after, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord as we see it in Jesus, to go after our shepherd, knowing he is the one who's come after us. Knowing where it leads us, that final line of Psalm 23, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We read Revelation 7:17, and the picture there is, even in the kingdom of heaven, even in the new creation, the Lord will still be our shepherd. He will still care for us. For Psalm 23, verse 1, for that to be our anthem for ordinary days, for dark days, for all the days of our lives, we first must and must continue to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Not just our shepherd, not just the shepherd, my shepherd. To be able to say, Jesus is my shepherd. That means I lack nothing. Maybe this morning you're here and you've never been able to really say that for yourself. The Lord is my shepherd. And maybe as you see him in Psalm 23, as the one who refreshes and directs, as strengthens and comforts, he's good and loving. So you want to say that for the first time. Or maybe you're experiencing the nudge of the shepherd today to draw back to him, to be able to say, Jesus is my shepherd. I lack nothing. We're going to have an opportunity to respond. I'm going to invite band to head over to the side to be ready to lead us as we, in a moment, worship in song, giving voice to some of these truths and our responses to it. I'm going to invite all of us, first of all, if you're able to stand, so please stand. And the words of Psalm 23 are going to appear on the screen. And the wonderful thing about having the Psalms in the Bible is they're not just for us to read on our own. They're given to us to pray and sing together. So we're going to put our voices together and just read Psalm 23 together. And then we'll go into a time of singing. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.